Hi, my name's Martin and I welcome you to Kaput Radio today with the local poetry excerpts from the recent Cup in Nimbin. Badly recorded with bad acoustics. However, I promise to upload these clips, so I hope you can make out what the poets have to say.
There's a word in this piece, I try to avoid long slash lanky words in poetry, but there's a word in this piece called hypostasis, one of the meanings of which is the way in which liquids pool in your body after death under gravity to the lowest point in your body. That's what that word means. You weren't expecting fluffy bunnies, I'm sure. The name of this piece is...
Check more than the risk of your lovers. Vital sign. Your name. What was it again? On the tip of my tongue, to wish you all the best. I hope you get well soon. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. How are you coping? How are you coping? Smiles for why? Bile was rising. We become 1/1000 high. How are you? 2/1000 yeah, not bad. 3/1000 pulse checkers. 120 BPM, you better slow down to the recommended speed limit, mate, or you risk facing a fine. And the outlook for the whole state is clear. Fine. Okay. We pay penalty and fine is tongues were held. In fear of not knowing other side of the greetings we let slip from these lips like collapsing balloons. Smiles were wide. The bile was rising and fret crept in like smoke. In the space between the in and out breath, like smoke passively, we hold breath. And the nausea we learn to live with swells between steps. Underneath, in stark contrast from the carefully chosen matching shades. Wilted. Yet we dress in full moon. But bear with me by the bedside, scanning screens for vital signs. Tears well with each slink, and we are dead still in hypostasis. sitting comfortably, in disgust, oriented into states of disarray, but bear with me. In the waiting room, the lights hang over us. The room we share never lightens the weight we bear with me.
So take your fore and middle finger to my wrist. Don't let go until you have beaten. And don't let go until you have beaten these dreams of the future we bear.
You shoot, I'll talk. 401. Crazy Hook. 18. This is Hotel 26. Over. 403. Roger. Currently engaging approximately 8 individuals. Killed in action. AK-47s and RPGs. 412. Hotel 26. You need to move to that location. Once Crazy Horse is done, and take pictures. Take pictures. Take pictures. Take pictures. Over. Take pictures. Over. 431. Yeah, look at those dead bastards. 436. Nice. 437. 26. Crazy Horse. 18. 444. Nice. 447. Good shoot. 448.
Now I know that I'm not alone in this room when I say that I believe words are an important and effective way of expressing oneself and causing change, as opposed to, say, a violent demonstration of destruction. I'm not going to preach to the choir, but here's the science. Picture a wheat field. Each grain is a single piece, and together it makes up a whole. It's a splice, a William Burroughs, if you will, reordered and sifted through an object, the way the distortion of a vinyl player filters through a record, or a phone signal interrupts a radio transmission, or the marrow squeezing between your bones, or a psychic sorts through your thoughts, or the way that your scent infects my pillow, like putting warm bread on a rug. It's when you burn an object, it rises. It's the same object, just portioned smaller. A tangible piece, a being, a thing. Now sing! Where was that? Smoke is what I'm trying to say. Because every single room is full of air particles, right? Millions upon billions, evenly spread and at rest. And when you burn an object, it just rises and moves to a different place. It does this by sifting between the gaps of the air particles, and all you've managed to do is smear your hate and it blurs and no one notices. You've affected nothing. But when you talk, you cause vibrations and these air particles shake and they rattle and roll and they vibrate less and less the longer a sound takes. Intangibility aches, sits in stillness, the air's not moving, there is system, there is order, a natural hoarder of nothingness or everything, depending. You see, sometimes we forget that sound, too, is a thing, knocking particles together in vibrations that sing and squeal and continue infrequently, but at all frequencies all at once. Any sound you make is like screaming, revolution, on impact, hitting the hard surfaces, the louder, longer, and lower pass through. The smaller ones don't stop, they simply deflect and spread elsewhere, and the revolution continues with the scream, this chain reaction of air particles. And you interpret this disorder, and you can hear the word revolution causing this war on a tiny battlefield of infinite planes, and you just nod and you whisper, revolution. And when things go quiet, and they're all vibrating less and less, and the air particles come to rest, well, it's here that you hear it, and you can just leave it. But when things turn soft, you can then in turn scream at revolution, and the battle between air particles starts again. There'll always be fighters and rebels and broken voice boxes, and no one says when, but no matter how loud, low or long, no matter what kind of speakers your sound is coming from, how powerful your wish is, how real your need is, how sensitive your mic on, how long your life, the number of your parishioners, or how creative your listeners, these air particles always rebel against you with their natural resistance until you're on even ground. And you're getting weaker and weaker against a constant enemy, a powerful, endless apathy, until you've got nothing left and you stand on stage out of breath. A pathetic demise, a short, senseless death. You see, silence doesn't request to be your guest. It just grabs your ears by their necks until it's like the air never moved at all. But nothing can stop you from screaming again. Revolution! Revolution! Revolution. I find it strange that you can repeat a word and the echoes make less and less sense over the time. I don't mean the way that saying a word so fast that syllables run together and become nonsensical. I mean the way that Beethoven's Ninth is someone's background music, or your favourite song came on the radio and you didn't even notice. How depressing is it that some phrases that were once so strong have been stripped of their power and become cliché? Take a moment and just remember our favourite fallen heroes. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? I realized recently I've always been reading this wrong. I've always put the emphasis on the word shall, like a chump. But there's no question here. It's not a will I, won't I situation. He will compare you, goddammit, and he does so promptly, much to the poor summer's day's dismay, left shriveled and half dead in a pile of its own right. Emphasize I. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? All other poets of less talent, skill, and fame have always compared their loved ones to big, perfect things. He asks, shall I now be the one to make a boring, superficial simile like the rest of us, unimaginative bodies? I, he says, will never do that. And in the entire collection of sonnets, he does not. But now, he continues, I will anyway, just to prove to you why it's so pointless. I will take the biggest, grandest, and most widely understood idea of natural beauty, the pure summer's day, the toughest competition for comparison, full of dawn and roses and rainbows. It should be too easy for the bard. And still, it proves inferior, unworthy, and inadequate compared to his love. The pure summer's day, well, it changes, it's unreliable, it passes and it ends. Its flaws are innumerable. But the young man who writes this sonnet about has none. And this is what love does to everyone. His love is so strong that the very notion of comparison is a weak and pathetic compliment. It can only be fruitless. Words that have been chosen and strung together to sound good but ultimately mean squat. Hyperbolic comparison, he says, for want of a better reference, is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury signifying nothing. And in the previous sonnets, he wrote about why he loves, logically. You must share your love, breed with me, we'll find a way. Your beauty must remain in this world, continue your bloodline, blah, 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 blah. And after 17 forced sonnets of this dribbling drivel, he finally has the courage to say, I love you because I love you. Praise for the sake of praise, begging for a better way to say it. In the end, he settles on this old, tired, used idea. A cliché. Because he knows that even the greatest words of Shakespeare can never be enough. So with that in mind, you, my darling, are a zip. You're comparable to the zip on the fly of my unwashed jeans. You know, the ones that you can't stand, that you don't understand why I still have them, why I haven't thrown them out, and you don't let me wear them out in public. You may not see it, but that zip is... Granted, zippers I don't always understand, and sometimes they break, and when they do, let's face it, it's generally my fault. Criticism may be flung your way when you don't feel perfectly aligned, or that you decide that your parts are not perfectly shaped. Love may mean that comparisons are pointless, but you are a zip. one of the greatest and most useful inventions known to mankind, often overlooked, always underrated, and no one will ever say that life could possibly be better without you. There have been previous fastlers, mind you. There have been runs, and there have been clips. But you are the best. You are my zip.
That all you got for me? You think you're gonna do the dirty on me? But see, I know better. Show you a thing or two about how to do. Now listen to me for a minute. I think I better take it through with. Cause see, I know better. Show you the way it goes. And if you really wanna know, say what you gotta. Keep your fingers crossed behind your back. Cause say what you wanna. Keep your fingers crossed behind your back. And if you're gonna love, walk me in the eye. Screw me, at least make it good for me. Cause see, I have better. Show you a thing or two about how I'm a woman, but man, I got more balls than you'll ever have. And I'll do better when I show you where to go. And if you really wanna know what you gotta, keep your fingers crossed behind your back. What you wanna, keep your fingers crossed behind your back.
Old fashions. I'm old. The Bible says 3 score and 10. Oh, spit, I think so wonder when. I'm well past that. I'll use my date. I wonder what the hell's my fate. I'm old, I'm bent, incontinent, all passion spent.
No, not all passion spent. I have passion plenty still, enough to match the passion of the young, particularly rage. Not rage against the dying of the light. One cannot win that fight. I rage because I cannot find the words to save the world. I cannot find the words to save the world. Now, Jesus had fine words that could have saved the world. Peace and love, forgiveness, turn the other cheek. He was particularly good about the meek. Alas, when he went back to Dad, his words franchise went awfully bad. Schism and heresy were rife. Grievous, bloody, sectarian strife. Free market of God's word. From this unholy stew, a mighty multinational grew. Took the words of Jesus, gave them corporate spin, emphasizing sex and human sin. I bet you Jesus' vision didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition. Or strife everlasting. Now, Mahat was much more of a go-getter. But Islam isn't any better. Sunni one day, then absolute shit. Sometimes seems to me by the reason we're hexed. No concern for this world, only the next. And then came the age of enlightenment, the age of enlightenment. Philosophers diverse, only seem to make things worse. The rich rose up against the poor, the French Revolution, and what followed was an absolute bitch. The irony of the American Revolution, slave owners declaring all men to be created equal, endowed with certain unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Ah, the American dream. The free market pursuit of the happiness of unconstrained consumption and carrying a really big gun. And fuck you, world. The Industrial Revolution, the Russian Revolution, revolution after revolution after revolution, round and round and round in ever-decreasing circles, And just like that famous bird fucking herself up with war after war after war, the rich getting richer and the poor staying poor. So here I stay, stand today, well past 80, just thrice that time has seen the world almost completely fucked by men. I stand and wonder when, not I, but when our world might end. Yet still, I have a hope. Someone will find the words to save the world. A politician. Ah, think Julia and Tone. Some rich and powerful person. Ah, think Gina, James and Clive. Fat chances there. I fantasize, perhaps if I were God. But whose? For mine, of course, like all the rest. My God's the best. So, looking at me, you might think I'm an ordinary bod, but actually I am a most important god. In fact, the most important god of all. The others, mere puppets that I have in my thrall. But I am the real god of the universe. God of the Higgs boson. God of entropy. God of the third law of thermodynamics. The god of chaos. He of the butterfly. The great god Sod am I. He of Sod's law. The one that makes you curse when things go unexpectedly worse. Unlike the other lesser gods, I have no rules for you to disobey. No stupid things for you to pray. For my rule is absolute. Disasters happen as you pray. No matter what you humans do or say, you all die and decay. For randomness is all. And it should be self-evident to you by now that the universe of which I am God has no real interest in you. It is only self-delusion. Think we do. Oh, puny people, who evolved by random chance, a somewhat clever monkey branch, but not so clever, seeing what you've done so fast. Fine example of Sod's law. What can go wrong will go wrong, and in your case, has gone wrong, very, very wrong. Let us pray.
Yay.
No divine intervention, then. Rage has got me nowhere. Hope has got me nowhere. Can despair be passionate? But wait, I have a passionate love. A young girl who shared 55 years with me, living in sin. But ever shameless me, I love an older female too. She was old even when I first knew her, but her beauty entranced me, entrapped me. I was enraptured, infatuated, seduced. You know how it is with a young male and the experienced older female. And yet, the relationship has endured. I love her passionately still. In fact, as time goes by, my love has deepened as I've come to understand the wondrous facets of her character. It's fair to say I owe her everything, my very origin and all that I've achieved. Oh, she has her moods, basically a sunny sort, but she can be dark and thunderously angry, cruelly cold and distant, wondrously warm and comforting, but so beautiful in oh so many different ways. And she can be hot. Oh, can she be hot? And yes, she has many other lovers. But I don't mind. Those who love her are my friends. Now, I am old and soon shall go to rest in her bosom. But she will survive. In many ways, she seems as young as ever. But look closely. She is deeply scarred. A virulent skin disease. An unfortunate, transient, destructive life form festering upon her surface. Does any wonder that she's feverish with rising temperature? Fever helps rid the body of toxic bugs, and some say God gave her tectonic plates to help shrug such things off. Yes, my beloved Gaia. And I am passionately disgusted by what mankind has wreaked upon our only home. In thrice threescore and ten, the human race has trashed poor Gaia's face. This earth, this Eden, this demi-paradise, this precious jewel set in infinity. And yet, they were people like us. They are people like us, because we are one species. It's only we may have got the naming wrong. Homo meaning man, sexist, but okay. Sapiens meaning wise, no way. But I still have a passionate hope that humankind may take the Nimbin way, for that could save the world. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide you all the way on. May the long time sun shine upon us, all love surround us, and the pure light within us guide us all the way on. Thank you.
Tired me! I want to be slaughtered, box, pigeonhole. I want to be explained. This is simply some segment of society. Let's see. Am I part of the shattering class? One of those Chardonnay swimming, latte sipping, black armband wearing, bleeding heart, academic, intellectual, PC, lefty elite?
Yes.
Yeah, that can't be. I prefer flat white to latte, Shiraz to Chardonnay. I didn't go to uni, and while it wasn't quite the school of hard knocks, it was at least the college of medium cushion blows. Okay, if not part of the chattering class, maybe I'm one of the grunting mass. That order of ordinary Australians, with a subsex of workers and diggers and battlers doing it hard on Struggle Street. But nah, I can't be one of them either. I'm either married, mated, mortgaged, or manacled to a menial job. I dislike sport, drink imported beer, and eat sun-dried tomatoes, for Christ's sake. So what's my demographic? Perhaps I'm part of it. Ratbag underbelly. Yeah. Let's see. If cliche serves me well, this countercultural class of dole-fed layabouts lays the day away in inner-city cafes, sipping macchiatos, discussing John Pilger, the latest acting gig in which protest to attend this week. Critical mass, no nukes, refugees reclaim the streets. No, hang on. I don't ride a bike or wear badges. Have never read John Pilger, lack piercings, tats and dreads, and the only thing I've ever protested is my innocence. Shit, this is getting tricky. I'm not a ratbag, grunter or chatterer. Neither am I Iron John, Jock, Digger, Battler, Worker, Toff, Snag, Snob, Yob, Clubber, Hipster, Raver, Boomer, Exa, Hexa, Hippie, Yuppie, Greeny or Dink. Maybe I'm a nink. No income, no kids. I'm not a neocon or a neopack, more an old compact man. I'm not a white collar, blue collar, more dirty t-shirt collar, but that don't mean I can't be part of the market. Look, I'll wear a red cape, stick a flare up my ass, and paint a bullseye on my chest. If it helps, I don't care, just target me. Fuck them all, I'm just your average, everyday, bleeding heart, neo-fascist, God-fearing, atheistic, spiritually mystic, cynically cystic, ironically autistic, atheistic, pugilistic, pan-apolitical, polygamous, puritanical, commitment-phobic, wet and dry renaissance, libertine. My well, I'm a Bunskathas, Makaya, quadrant, quite fucking obviously. You better start including me, because there are millions not like me. And one day us Bundgefasbachaya quadrilles are going to rise. Oh yeah, they're going to rise up and put the kettle on.
Thanks for this less good sounding podcast, but I didn't do the recording. So, I won't give the creds for that either. However, the poets are in order of appearance: Doubting Thomas, Scott Sandwich, Len Martin and Tug Dumley. The music episodes were Alpha Mama. Thank you for listening. I'm Martin and I will appear soon with some other ideas.